All right, are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Becca?
I'm ready.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are back. It seems like we were just here because we were, but we felt bad for making y'all wait last week, so we came with a round two.
Yeah.
How's everyone doing? Tanya?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm great. Mark?
I'm so good. Thank you for asking.
Easton?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Great. I'm so happy everyone's here. Amy's not with us today. She's on the road right now, but if Amy was here, she'd say she was great too. Mm-hmm. Positive thinking. So I
woke up in a really good mood today, by the way.
What time did you go to sleep last night?
Oh, when did I text you? 7:30? 8? Maybe 8.
Wow.
It's later than I thought, but
yeah.
And then what time did you wake up?
4:45.
Oh, that's a good night's sleep.
Thank you. No, yeah. I literally flew in here this morning.
It's just so strange because 4:45 is literally the middle of my night. it's halfway through my REM sleep.
I know. I texted you this morning at 9 something and I was like, I wonder when she's going to get this.
No, today I woke up early because I went and looked at the house. I went and looked at a house to rent. And so she was 10 o'clock. I'm like, whew, that's an early morning for me. But I suppose I can do it if it's what I need to do. But I also went over to Matt and Angela's and held their baby. And I can smell her on me. I'm like, why? I have baby fever more than I have husband fever. Wait. I think I'm more ready for a baby than a husband.
I know. You've been saying that for a while.
I think I've always felt that way. Because I think I'm very maternal, and so it's very natural for me, whereas the other part is not
so
natural.
Much.
Yeah. But
speaking
we'll
of
get
that,
to-
yeah.
I was a little bit panicked going to sleep last night. So we have a therapist that's going to be joining us later on in the show. And I've never talked to, I guess on The Bachelor, you talked to a therapist before and during the show, but.
Right. But that's
aside
different,
from that,
sure.
I've never It's never been with an intention. That was more of how are you mentally, what was your, they do delve
right,
into your past.
How are you
past,
coping
but,
with this?
Well, no, this is before you even go on the show, so you haven't even experienced it.
Oh.
Yeah, so a lot of the girls were like, yeah, we were in there for hours, and I was just venting to her. I literally think I was in there for 20 minutes.
Oh, geez.
Because you're so together and everything's
well,
fine.
Well, because she's, the question she was asking, it's what was your childhood like? I'm like, ideal. What are your parents together? Yeah, they love each other.
Right.
I played sports. My parents were at every game. It's I don't have anything obvious.
Right. Which is the key word here.
But there's something there, we think.
We think.
Well,
okay,
we think.
This is why. Do you want to share why we wanted a therapist?
I feel like we've talked about
Yeah. That. There's something that we aren't sure. There's a wall of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a wall, but I can't pinpoint what the wall is or why it's there.
Why it's there.
Or if there is, or if it's a wall or if I'm just this is my personality.
Right. And there might be. That's a thing. I've never met anybody like you, but I've also not met everyone in the world or studied about it.
You
know what I mean? So a therapist might be that wall is normal. That's just your fence, your neighboring fence.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, just my neighbor.
But what is the issue is that you don't get excited about dating? The issue is you can't open up to men? What is the actual issue? Let's
I feel like down. I'm pretty open. I feel like I'm pretty open about I remember at least with Robert, I was very open. I'm very independent and I like being alone. And,
yeah, and your communication is very great.
Yeah, I feel like mm-hmm. if I feel something and I feel like, oh, this could be a problem if we don't talk about it, I like to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I like having an open conversation. So I think that's always been my problem is that I can't quite pinpoint where the blockage is or what it is, but it might just be, I'd be interested to see if she's yeah, it's just a personality type.
Yeah.
And
cause okay, I'll put it in. So Mark, when you first start dating somebody and you're in that honeymoon phase and
yes.
you want to spend every second together
Absolutely.
And you're fighting everything in you that to not.
It's a great time.
I don't think she's capable of having that.
Wow. I thought you were going to be she's never felt that.
Right,
you said she's not capable. Okay.
But I'm serious. Because I think that you like your independence so much that I don't see you being so enamored.
I think I've gotten so comfortable being single that I think that's kind of in the sense of that I have no interest in dating. It's like I'm so content like not having to go on dates that's kind of that part of it. You know, I don't love small talk. I don't love socializing. You know, it's not like my top priority. But
you're good at it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can do it, but it's not like my comfort zone, I guess. So yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what we're gonna ask this woman because I'm not sure we know what the problem is.
I need her to ask.
Yeah,
the question.
I think that's her. Oh, okay. That's what she's gonna do.
Okay. I'm hoping that's what she does for a living.
You think you'll cry?
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine if she like broke through and I just
like had a moment?
Not TMI. A little bit TMI, but I'm about to start my period, so it could very well happen. Like she could totally like just break down some walls.
When was the last time you cried?
Oh, I mean, I watched that movie Wonder the other night. Yeah. I full blown just sobbed.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Like my eyes were swollen the next day.
When was the last self-inflicted cry?
What does self-inflicted mean? I feel like that was self-inflicted. I chose to watch the movie.
No, but like not like a movie or a commercial or a song or like something like that.
Like just emotions?
Yeah, emotions.
Oh.
God, mine was like yesterday.
Yeah, but you can like make yourself cry.
What was yours, Tanya?
Exhaustion, I would assume, if it was yesterday.
No, I actually didn't cry yesterday. That's actually good. I don't know when I last time I cried. Oh, I remember the last time I cried.
Okay.
We're not.
I know, I'm asking.
It was actually on the air.
What were we talking about?
When someone said that I liked being rejected by men.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But that's like... Yeah, I mean,
that's
that
emotional. Affected me.
I think that would make me, I would get upset by that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I get very emotional, like, if someone, okay, for instance, I did that compliment train on my Instagram the other day. Mm-hmm. I cried like several times that day reading, just like, I cry a lot with like kindness and like,
right.
I don't cry a lot from sadness or like being upset, but I'm rarely like sad.
You get angry.
I feel angry, but even that doesn't last so long that I make myself cry.
Like when I told you when I cried, you were like, "Where is she?" And I was like, "I love that. That's best friend right
now." Oh yeah, I mean, like I get to fit, and I'm like ready to go.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're in touch with your emotions.
I feel like I am.
It seems like you're comfortable with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out what the issue. I guess, like you say, that's for her to figure out. But you seem like you're pretty well put together.
Yeah.
But the thing is with. Because it seems specifically towards like dating and relationships, it could so very easily be like you haven't met the right person. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we tried to diagnose this so often and like because apparently I am not capable of feeling that excitement and rush.
I'm like scorned flower or whatever, because I feel the same way with Becca. Like
what's a scorned flower?
I have no idea what that is.
She just like makes things up and then like before she goes like thinks through is that the correct term, she just keeps going acting like we're not gonna stop her.
Scorned when like because I'm like that with you, like I want to hang out all the time, la la, and then you're like meh. In my mind I'm like, oh, maybe she's just not capable.
Oh, you blame it on like, okay, so you're taking your situation, projecting onto me what you would hope the problem is.
Right, to make me feel less sad.
You do that with boys, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm interested to see, but I'm kind of nervous. I've never had someone, like, other than going on the show, I've never had someone really get in there, and I feel like she's going to, I hope she, like, really digs.
I do, too.
Makes when's me a little bit uncomfortable. 1:30.
Half an hour, yeah.
Great.
Or 13:30.
13:30. What's happened this week in your love life? Anything? Have you seen the guy that you went to drinks with again?
Nope. Haven't talked to him.
I know.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not opposed. Maybe I should reach out to him.
But he hasn't reached out to you?
No, he is the last one that texted me when I was in Hawaii, but we haven't chatted since then.
You left him on red.
She left him on red.
Is that did I ghost him?
Kind of, but like.
Like an innocent ghost.
If he really wanted to, he would double text.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not really affected my week.
Which is why we're having a therapist on today. Before we go any further.
Okay.
We get so many emails reminding us that Becca needs to text from Tanya's
phone. I know.
If we do it first, then we can have the rest of the show to see if there's a response from the person, whoever it is.
I hate this.
Okay.
You lost the Grey's Anatomy quiz.
This is the. I have someone I want to DM her, but she won't let me DM instead of text.
That
she
wasn't
have his
part
number.
Of the bet. That wasn't part of the bet. DM was not part of the bet.
I feel like DM's more like lighthearted.
There's no chance.
Who is it?
Big Sean.
There's no chance. Zero chance.
You won't let her do it?
Are you? Have you lost your marbles?
Well, I feel like it's less invasive. It's a celebrity. He may not even see it. He's probably in a relationship.
Which
like,
is
who cares?
So embarrassing.
But who cares?
But like, I'm cool with
How
him.
How do you know what I'm going to say?
I already know it's not going to be good.
What? I need to look through your phone to see who's in there. Here, let me have it.
By the way, we found out last week that Big Sean follows Tanya on Instagram. It's
I
very
know,
exciting
and she like
everyone,
loves him. But we think he has a girlfriend.
We think he has a girlfriend.
So that's why I was like, just let me DM him. I'll be cool.
He has a girlfriend who got his name tattooed on her chest or something like that.
Something like that.
Speaking of.
I have numbers in here that I don't even remember. Like, who's Aaron
Tanya,
Schmitz?
Tanya, how was the Super Bowl for you?
What?
Shout out to Aaron Schmidt.
Yeah, shout. Okay, should I write Aaron Schmidt and be like, who are you?
Wait,
why are you my
That's
phone?
A
number.
Waste. That's a waste of the
You're right.
Can I see
You're
the
right.
number?
Nope. Okay, let's keep talking. Okay.
You scroll through. Tanya, how was your Super Bowl?
It was great. I learned a lot. I feel like each time I watch football, I learn a little something more.
And this time you learned?
The two-point turnover.
Two-point conversion.
Two-point conversion can happen after they score a goal.
A touchdown.
They get to do the they could pick either a field goal or a 2-point conversion. Right. I've never heard of a 2-point conversion.
Oh, wow.
Before.
That
yeah.
is relatively new to the NFL within the past 10, 15
yeah,
years.
Yeah, which I also thought that they made up. I thought that they just made that up.
I think I found who I want
to
text.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was like, John, did you make that up? Who is it? I mean, okay. What are you going to say?
Well, that's for me to decide.
Who
right?
is it?
Can I say?
Well, you could just describe who this person is in her life if you don't want to give the name.
Yeah, he is a brother of one of Tanya's really good friends.
Yeah.
Is it your brother?
No.
Okay, because that would be interesting.
No, she'd be happy about that.
Yeah, okay, that's yeah. true. Okay, it's her friend's brother.
Yeah. Actually, you know what?
And Tanya,
let's make this interesting.
How close are you with this friend's brother?
She's one of my very close friends.
And you were interested in her brother?
You know,
actually, yeah,
I was at one point. I think now, no, he's so much younger than me. I almost look at him as like a little brother. However,
well, this could get really
this
creepy.
Is what you do, though. You put people in
no.
boxes
could be
and categories.
Creepy, huh? Actually, I think I'm going to do my brother. I like this.
That's a good idea.
Because this could be he'll be funny. I don't want any like I don't want to ruin any relationships, although I would have been really cool about Big Sean.
What would you have said?
OK, hi, Christopher.
You can't call him Christopher. Call him Chris.
Oh.
Right?
Tanya, this is Becca's text to send.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. You sent to Davey, been thinking about you. Like, sorry you lost your chance. Wait, so let's get back to the Super Bowl. What did you think about halftime?
I quite enjoyed it. I thought he did a really good job. I was a little bit bummed he didn't bring anybody out. And to me, just kind of felt like a Justin Timberlake show. But I thought it was a good Justin Timberlake show.
You didn't love it, though.
I didn't love
it. You made that clear off the air that you didn't love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the same way. It was just kind of like, where's the rest of your band?
There's usually some big spectacle of some sort.
Yeah, but Prince moment was pretty epic.
It was.
I had chills for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. But didn't that happen like a while ago?
Oh, his death, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like,
I mean, but we like, I feel like everyone.
He was in Minneapolis, which is Prince's
like,
hometown.
We moved past it.
Oh!
That's why.
And then they lit the town purple.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was cool. I wish he would have been a hologram and not like a flying sheet.
I agree. I had the same sentiment. Everyone's like, I'm glad it wasn't a hologram.
My girl
like,
Pink crushed the national anthem
with the flu.
She's the greatest.
What are your thoughts on her new single?
What's her new one? Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Okay.
I mean, Beautiful Trauma, I don't feel like it got enough love.
Agreed.
I love that song.
Between you and Mark and that song, it's like
Mark and I
song.
Are kindred spirits.
I think so.
I kind of feel the same way about Mark and I.
Y'all are not. Y'all disagree. Like, y'all have different opinions on a lot of things.
But like, we're the same. We're both cancers.
Okay.
All right. Send the text because we have to get to the Grey's Anatomy
recap. I'm saying,
hey,
Chris, this is Tanya. I have been meaning to text you.
Does
I
he
really
listen?
Think, yeah, he does. He didn't like our conversation about guys being short under 6 foot or whatever.
Oh, but I'm not opposed. Did he like that?
I really think we could be great together.
You don't want to make it too obvious that he'll know it's you.
No, I said I really think we could be great together and would love next time you came in town if we could get dinner.
Oh. So awkward. I literally haven't been on a date since November. So
wow.
Yeah.
What was November?
Mr. Whole Foods.
Oh, God.
All right, sent. See, that was like innocent but kind of funny. We'll see what he says.
Right, now we got time.
He's probably like, oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't have hated the other one either, but like it just wouldn't go anywhere.
I know, and it's like we couldn't say, you know, it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
If Tanya were to date Christopher, that would be okay with you? No weirdness?
No weirdness. But just nervous. He's not quite as distant as me, but...
Oh
yeah, she might be like.
Oh gosh,
he's that like would be a tough
no, he's
one
like
me.
Much. He like is actively looking for a girlfriend, so he's doing. He does a lot more than me. But
we
he
need
definitely
to dial him up when the therapist is on the phone.
No, he's not. You know, he's much better off than I am in that way. Yeah, that's just mainly me. But you know, I'm gonna have to tell Tanya like, don't overdo it. You know,
it does seem like a guy version of Becca would be the perfect boyfriend for Tanya.
No, because it's like. You know.
I know. I don't know.
It would make her feel insecure in a relationship.
I think I'd be very insecure.
She feels insecure in our friendship sometimes when I don't answer.
Yeah. I'm like, do you still love me? Like, literally.
Every,
to me, though. You almost said that to everybody.
I know. That's what I was. It made me feel better to know that that happens to everybody. And it's not just me. Because I'm like, wow. She puts a lot into my reciprocation, which is stressful. Oh, wait, I want to talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Let's do it.
I didn't love it.
Okay.
I love Bailey. Like, she's such a staple in that show, but I didn't need a whole episode about her.
I have to agree with you. I liked it. I didn't hate it.
It wasn't I didn't hate it.
It wasn't like up to par of the last two episodes.
No, no, no. Yeah.
It felt very like This Is Us to me. Like flashback and even though I like This Is Us now, it just felt like it was like they were trying to do something that I wasn't on board with.
It definitely didn't feel like it was This Is Us because This Is Us has just been amazing. Wow.
But do you know what I mean? Like I was like, I don't need the flashbacks.
Okay. I disagree with both of you. I thought I loved it.
Oh.
How long have we known Miranda Bailey?
Forever.
I mean, I've known her longer than I've known either of you.
Yeah, true.
14 years
yeah.
I've known Miranda Bailey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I love the flashbacks. I love that kind of like, you guys probably didn't watch Lost, but like shows that like kind of build, and This Is Us does this too. It builds a backstory as you're going. I love finding out more about her childhood. I loved seeing young Miranda Bailey with her giant glasses.
I liked Miranda Bailey too. I loved her.
I thought that was great. Also, there's a reward for watching a show for 14 years. The reward is that they can do flashbacks within the show. And they don't. They can just show you clips of them from 10, 12, 14 years
right.
ago.
Right.
There,
like,
there was a McDreamy clip.
There was a George. Then there was one with her and Weber,
uh-huh.
where she had the braids, and Weber looks totally different. Yeah. I'm like, that's the beauty, and that's the reward of sticking with the show for all those years, is that they've aged as we've aged, and we've been through all this together.
I think I just wish it would have been a storyline and not just like the whole episode. Like I would have liked.
I like them delving sometimes. There's 30 characters on that show. I like to kind of just get into one person for an episode. I don't know. I loved it. Sorry.
Like I said, it wasn't definitely was not the worst. It just was after the past few that like I kind of feel cheated that they left us with that April arc and
totally.
Then and showed then, like, Miranda like a whole episode of Miranda Bailey.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you guys because I think that the listeners would find this interesting.
Oh.
Talking about April and her crisis of faith mm-hmm. from the week before. Do you guys have any stories where you had a crisis of faith that you overcame?
I feel like this is more of a question for you because for me, I feel like my faith is what saved me and I haven't had that moment.
From the breakup.
Right.
That's when you've really, it's been a bigger part of your life since.
Yeah.
But I'm like the same, I've never had, knock on wood, like I've never had something where it was like a huge test. I think the only thing, and it's so minimal compared to what she has dealt with and to compare it to the show, is like, you know, having been on the show and like the pressure and the negativity like that came with that, but I didn't have that much of it, so it was like that was very minimal. But you know, a lot of times if I got stressed or felt anxious, like that was kind of what I turned to. But I've never had anything like that. And I think that was my point last week, was that I think a lot of people who are Christian or have a strong faith, everything's easy. And like, it's very easy to say like, oh, I have my faith, or like, I believe everything is going to work out, until something terrible happens, or multiple terrible things happen, where you kind of go, where is God? Like, the God that
I struggle with it when I deal with sick kids. Mm-hmm. I really have a tough time.
You spend a lot of time at Children's Hospital Orange County.
Yes. And I have a tough time when I see them getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
I really do struggle.
Yeah.
But you have to just know that, you know, all you can do is just like lean on you. You just have to just lean on it and just know that something's happening for a greater, and that they're going to a better place.
Yeah. I would have to agree. Like, I've read, just reading stories of like people who have gone through that. That's the one thing that I'm always like, why?
Yeah.
Like, and why this even sounds to anybody, to cancer or anything like that, to anybody, but why, like, an innocent child? I always have struggled with that too. But I want to see more of that. And I thought it was such an interesting topic.
I think so too.
From them. And I hope that there is a positive, like, a, you know, into that story.
I hope they keep it going. Like, I hope
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I hope that you watch like the process and the struggle. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting, and I want to see more of that. And also, This Is Us, which you are not caught up, but Jack Pearson he's in this rivaling with McDreamy right now.
Yeah, Becca, that was really like, I couldn't believe she said that.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I just think he is, as far as just a husband and a dad, and the way he treats his kids and his wife, I just cannot get over it.
Yeah, it is pretty special. It is special.
Yeah. And I'm just devastated. I can't quite get over that one. Although it's weird because it hurt. Like, it didn't hurt like McDreamy did, because it hasn't been as long or whatever.
And Plus you knew it was coming.
I was going to say, you know, the whole time you're like waiting for that episode where they explain it. But the way it happened was, did you watch it?
Not yet. No. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
And then tonight it's on again.
I know. And it's like what we did for the podcast.
They say tonight's another tough
Thursday.
One.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's a week of doubleheaders.
On a more positive, uplifting note, Jessica Capshaw did say that we are the highlight of the red carpet when we wore scrubs.
That's right. Shout out, Capshaw.
You know, I have gone through this time where I thought the whole cast, for some reason, just didn't like me. I don't know. I had this like thing in my head that they somehow knew that I was obsessed and just were like, And I felt like I tweeted her like the video of us meeting her, and she never said anything. I was like, yeah, she hates. But I was like, that'll be funny if we like tweeted her the picture, and she loved it.
Yeah, she did.
That's so nice.
We had to go to Paley Fest this year, and maybe
we need to do better. Have like an actual like setup to where we can do an interview, because we didn't have mics or anything.
Yeah,
it was
we literally
so
had
loud.
My phone, and like it was so bad. And we're like dressed in scrubs with like an iPhone. We're like,
and we're like, if you could bring back any character, who would it be? You couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, and we're like, if you could die, like, how would you want to go?
Wow, I'm getting secondhand embarrassment thinking about this.
Before you tell us about Adore Me,
okay,
let me read you the synopsis of this week's Grave, and we can decide if you're excited or you're not excited. This is the TV Guide. April is in charge of the new surgical innovation contest, so she didn't successfully hand that off to anyone else. The doctors are eager to start their projects. Catherine's old friend has a shocking idea for Catherine and Jackson. Meredith treats a returning patient who inspires her project. Not great faces from either of you.
Sounds kind of boring.
What project are we talking about?
This is the one where, is it Bailey that's funding it?
Last week, I was at your house. Maggie had like two kids, and she was like showing them how to do some science. Isn't that part of it?
No, that was because Tuck was like out of school or something. Oh, okay.
There's a lot of money, and all of the doctors are going to compete with some new medical innovation to win the money. It's like a Harper Avery, but it's their own Harper Avery.
Oh.
And I thought it was Bailey's money, but I don't know why I thought that. But anyway, so that's what this is. They're all starting their projects for that. I think the most promising that I just read to you is that Meredith treats a returning patient. Who knows? Maybe somebody we remember. And that inspires her project. There's potential there.
Yeah, I'm going to need some side stories to keep. Yeah.
I'm only going to like it if it's like the lawyer that comes back from the dead.
Oh my God. I hate how attached you are to that. I think so you're going to annoy me.
I'm so attached to him as a character. And the fact that he died is so like.
There was nothing attachable about him.
It was Denny and Izzy 2.0.
Oh. This is so desperate. I can't stand it. She posted on Instagram. Okay. She was like, she did a poll on Instagram. It's like, is there a better love story than these two? It was Denny and Izzy. And she put the poll to where both answers were no.
And
like,
no.
Definitely not. I wrote her and I was like, this is the worst poll ever. You shouldn't be allowed to do polls anymore.
There have been so many of those that are better than the lawyer. I mean, think of Scott Foley. How about even Karev and the girl who had the messed up face?
I never liked that.
I love that one. I was way into that one. Maybe that was a guy.
She was like annoying.
Annoying and creepy.
Yeah, like so stalkery.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah.
I was like, she might come back and murder him at some point.
Yeah, with like a knife.
But with a knife. Specifically, a knife. Yeah, but I need someone to have like a romantic love story because I'm missing it a little
Not
bit.
Not somebody. Anybody but Jackson and Maggie.
Yeah, okay. Anybody but Jackson and Maggie, and I don't necessarily need to see Catherine or Okay, so basically I want to see a love story I need Alex and Joe to have some romance, April and Jackson.
Meredith and someone.
That's tough for me.
Arizona.
And I think that she and that girl are gonna get back together. The DeLuca sister.
Oh.
The orgasm doctor?
Yeah.
I don't love her.
I don't either. And keep her away from Owen. That's like a double whammy.
Yeah, it's so bad.
I'm not interested.
Ew. I just, anything with Owen, I can't. Something, okay. So, speaking of relationships, Tanya and I are both going to be single this Valentine's Day.
That's right.
Just throwing it out there. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't treat ourselves to something special.
What a text message. We'll wait till we're done.
At Adore Me.com, you can get designer bras and lingerie that will fit you perfectly because Adore Me is designed by women for women of every body type. Mm-hmm. They also have, we got cute PJ set.
My roommate, I was wearing mine the other day and she goes, those pajama bottoms make you look so tiny.
You're very small right
said
now.
Said no one ever. But those big bat, you know what I mean? Like when you're wearing pajama sets, like they don't make you look slimming. And these really do.
My blanket pants are the ugliest like shape I've ever worn. So it will be nice to wear something that's like form fitting.
Yeah. And they're comfy cozy.
Love comfy cozy. They also have body suits and cute tops for going out, but the best part is that you don't have to go to the mall or get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Adore Me comes straight to you. You get gorgeous lingerie and a bra and panty set right to your door. If you visit adoreme.com, you can shop hundreds of style from lacy romantic lingerie, trendy bralettes to supportive and full coverage bras. Mm-hmm. There's no risk or return lines, which is so nice. Shipping and exchanges are always F-R-E-E, free.
Free.
I felt like you were trying to keep up with what I was spelling.
Well, I got this really cute.
She was like mouthing it. Like,
yeah.
And for a limited time, it's the Adore Me Valentine's Day sale. So you can get your first set for just $14.95 at adoreme.com/scrubbingin. That's 60% off your first set with VIP membership at adoreme.com/scrubbingin. One more time, that's adoreme.com/scrubbingin. We got a good email from someone who was like, hey, Becca, and then it put in parentheses, like how Tanya says it at the end of this.
That was Nancy.
My mom? My mom's name is Nancy. My brother responded, so let's read that.
Well, I'm not sure. Is his number?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, okay.
Let me see.
Such a Tilly response.
Wow. He said, girl, I'm going to take you to the nicest Applebee's in SoCal.
Here's the problem. He's very quick and witty. I'm not.
No.
That's not true.
That is true.
No. You're selling yourself short.
I'm not witty or I might be quick sometimes.
You're funny.
You are funny, but I don't think quick and witty, but she's funny, but she's not quick and witty.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we feel like this Tom Brady. Sorry, he's taken. I was about to say, never mind. That's why this Tim Tebow thing seems to work out, because from what I've heard, he doesn't he's not very like sarcastic or like super quick-witted.
Not like me.
But you're funny, so hopefully, I don't know. I'm hoping he's funny, has a sense of humor.
I don't feel like that's a deal breaker. I think you two would get along great.
Okay.
I mean, you can certainly have a conversation.
Do you respond to this?
You can take it.
Oh, I take it from here.
Right, I just had one text, right?
Yeah,
I'm bored. I love Applebee's, so that was a good response.
Would it be funny if I said something like, what if we try this raw organic place by my house?
Yeah, you should be like, I'm more into like Whole Foods.
Pesticide free hashtag.
We have about 10 minutes before the therapist.
Ah, okay. Oh, I want to do emails.
So can we start with Nancy since you mentioned her? Because
yeah,
that's a good one.
We have some really good emails this week. We always do. I don't know if we've mentioned it, but we love emails.
Love.
scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com.
I get this question so often. What is the email for us to write in? So we're going to repeat it again. scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com. We'd
right.
love to hear from you. Okay, so this one is from Nancy, and I don't think it's my mom. Hopefully it's not. She said, never mind, this will be funnier after I read the email why I hope it's not my mom. Okay, it says, hi, Becca, and then in parentheses it says, the way Tanya says it after your ads, and Tanya. Becca, I think I went through the entire Dexter series in like 2 weeks, no joke. I haven't been able to continue after the season 4 finale, so... Don't know what that's like.
Why?
You know the ending.
It was too traumatizing?
It was so traumatizing.
Done?
I don't know. I don't know if I can continue.
I like it. Don't just get away from that.
Okay.
Back to me.
Okay.
The show took you away from me for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. Okay, back to Nancy. Okay, so here's my dilemma. I've been with my husband for about 5 years, married for 2, and we have a little girl who is the most adorable mini person ever. Aww. I look at her and I literally can't. Anyway, so my issue is this. When my husband and I first started dating, he made working out a priority. I mean, he would literally get home from work at 8:30 or 9 p.m. and go for a run.
Wow.
He got it in whenever he could, and I really liked that about him. Fast forward 5 years and a kid later, and dare I say it, he has a dad bod.
Ooh.
Let me just say, of course I love him no matter what he looks like, because regardless of the dad bod, he's still so hot, or what his weight is. My concern is that we have a kid now, and I need him to be healthy and be around for a long time. Mm. I try to set an example and make working out a priority and letting him know that it's important to me, but he just complains about how tired he is after working and being with our girl. Insert eye roll emoji. Guys, help me. What would you do in this situation? Thanks so much for reading my email and for your podcast. It's legit the highlight of my week.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know. I love that. I mean, I love that ending. This is hard for me because I hate working out and I don't really make it a priority in my life.
Yeah.
But I do like communication and honesty. And I think if you said what your concern is, that you have a kid and you want that to be a priority, I would assume as a dad, it would make him more aware that it's not so much for him or for you, but for your little girl.
Right.
He might resent that.
Oh,
but
really?
I think he'll come around on it. Like, for example, I was talking to somebody on our staff earlier today who's not husband, partner, got her workout clothes for Christmas. And then a few months later when she hadn't worked out, he's like, hey, got you those workout clothes. But put those on every so often. And she's not really happy about it, but she hears him.
Right.
And I think that your husband will hear you if you have that conversation.
But yeah, I was going to ask her. I mean, I know men are more sensitive than we give y'all credit for. But like, obviously, women are like, he got me workout clothes. Yeah. Does he think I'm fat? Or guys more just like, oh, yeah, like I should.
We're fairly oblivious, but I think it's actually a decent problem to have. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
And his priority is your daughter. And that's great. And I think that's a really important thing. And I know a lot of dads who don't spend that much time with their kids because they work all day and mm-hmm. then they go to the gym and mm-hmm. by the time they come home, it's bedtime. You know,
right,
and I think
right.
I think there's a balance to be struck there.
Right.
And also when your daughter's older and more independent or however you want to put it, he's going to get back into it. It was a priority at one point. It will be again. It was never a priority for me. I've had a dad bod long before I was a dad and I still do, but I'm getting back into it now again because my kids are 11 and 8. They're less... They need me around less, kind of. I mean, I'm still always around, but I'm trying to do more of that for
right.
the reason she says here, because I want to be around for a really
right,
long time for
right.
them.
But you can also, I mean, I think a lot of that can come if he doesn't want to work out, maybe eating health, like changing what you're eating or,
yeah.
you know.
Or like maybe suggesting doing things together. Like, I mean, I know some people don't like to work out with their partners, but like maybe suggesting you guys do stuff together might be
even going
interest
on
him
walks
a little bit
something.
More. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
walks with the kids is great.
That's what I was
hikes with the kids.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of things you can do together or that aren't so much like going to the gym or
right,
going,
like
you know,
cute
that,
bike rides together.
I love a cute bike ride.
Yeah, it really is cute.
It's not a bike ride if it's not cute.
Right. It has to be a cute bike ride.
With a basket. Yeah. I mean, I would just be honest and be like you said, maybe he gets his feelings hurt, but at least it's in his head and he hears you and realizes what your intentions are. It's not that you're saying I'm unattracted to you and want you to have a hot bod. It's more like, hey, I want you to be healthy and be able to be active with our children.
And the fact that you think he's so hot, that's great. He'll love you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Be like, I think you're so hot.
Yeah. I'm into a dad bod.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to dad bod.
Not at all.
The more I found the guys who don't have the dad bod, those are the ones you got to look out for.
Well, and my wife's always said to me, she would not be happy if I was in better shape than she was.
Yeah, you got to keep so, it, if not even, a little less, a little more out of shape than the
You don't
than
want
the
him ripped if you're not ripped.
Yeah.
I know. Robert was always like so fit and like he ate super healthy and I'm like, oh.
No. can I get an Eggo?
Dude, can I get fries with that?
Can you do Lily?
Yes. Oh yeah, this is interesting because we've talked about it a little bit. Well, Tanya and I have.
Which one?
Lily.
Oh.
Hi, Becca and Tanya. This may be sort of a weird question, but I noticed Tanya went out on a dinner date with Robert while Becca was out of town in Hawaii.
You did.
Have you guys always been friends before Becca and Robert dated? And how does Becca feel about you two being friends / going out to eat? Personally, I would feel uncomfortable with my best friend going out to eat with my ex-boyfriend, but 100% judgment-free zone. I just want to know your thoughts. I think it's awesome how open-minded you both are. I look up to you both so much. Love, Lily Smith from Vancouver, Washington.
Aw, I love Lily.
Lily. It's not weird. Like, Tanya...
I love the pause, the pregnant pause.
Tanya and Robert were good friends before I met either of them. So it was like they had a friendship before. And then, you know, Tanya and Robert throughout our relationship, like both literally if I was with Robert, he talked about how Tanya is the best. And I'm like, maybe y'all should date. But Tanya would be like, oh, Robert's so great. And like after we broke up, was like, I'm really rooting for y'all to get back together. And
it's true.
And they've like gone out to eat. I mean, several times since we've broken up, like y'all have seen each other and hung out.
Yeah.
And I think because Robert and I didn't end on like a negative note with any bitterness as far as like, it's not like he cheated on me and like hurt me or
right, of course.
Vice versa. It's not really like a thing where I feel like she's
like mad.
Yeah. I don't feel like, oh, she chose like she's choosing his side over mine. 'Cause there's not really a side to choose.
Right.
And I still like think he's so wonderful and great. So it's kind of like, I don't have anything to be weird. And the only time I have ever gotten like, I thought about it is, I think my mom said something about like, I guess I was when I was home. She's like, oh, Robert and Tanya are friends. Like, is that weird for you? And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, should
I know,
it be
and
weird for me?
It's so funny because I never thought of it either. Like, I was just kind of, obviously if he ever hurt you or did anything that I would obviously cut ties and like, he'd be dead to me. But, because that wasn't the case, I really do. Like, I love Robert and I am still rooting for the two of you. Cause I think he's a really great guy and it is nice to kind of just like hear, you know what I mean? Like where he is in life, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I just think timing is everything. And I think it's sweet that he even wants to keep a relationship with me because we are so close. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says a lot about where his head's at.
Yeah. She went out to dinner with him the other night and didn't even get any like details of like, is he dating anyone? She didn't come back with anything for me.
Well, also that's awkward. You know what I mean? Like there's a little bit of that. And I never want to like share. I would never tell him anything about you. You know what I mean? I would never be like, oh yeah, she went on to drinks with some guy.
Yeah, but you're Team Becca. So you have to.
I was about to say, Mark, come on in here for me.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's a little bit of a subject that we kind of.
They avoid.
Yeah.
They avoid me.
For obvious reasons.
I do think that you should be getting some reconnaissance done on these dates, though. You should be finding out stuff about him if you can.
Thank you. Like, let me be a crazy ex for a sec. Like,
but you're so not.
I know. So let me have a moment and, like, get some details.
Because what's the point otherwise? Like, seriously.
Oh, my God. That's exact. I was like, why'd you even go?
I do have to say, though, when we were having dinner, he said, guess who I hung out with two nights ago? I was like, oh. Tim Tebow.
Oh.
I was like, wow, really? And he goes, he is a great guy. I am fully on board with this. I'm going to try and make this happen. So anyways.
So we have 56 people in Los Angeles trying to make this happen.
But I did get a lot of messages actually about this dinner, and a lot of them were like, make them get back together. It was like a lot of messages, but a lot of other people were like, the next day I asked Becca, I was like, do you think it's weird? Because if you ever thought it was, I would obviously not go, you know?
May I devil? Devil's
Please
advocate?
Devil.
What if he made a pass at you, Tanya? What if, I know you're making the face. Okay. Craziest thing in the world.
Crazy
Maybe
thing.
It is. But what if he asked you out? Like said, hey, you know what? Why don't we go back to my place? I don't know. Something like that. That was clearly taking it to another level.
First of all, that would never
happen. I know.
This is not how you play devil's advocate.
Okay. Let's play the game. I'd say no. I would actually probably laugh.
If he leaned in to kiss you.
I'd take my braces out.
Oh.
And be like.
Oh my gosh.
In an attempt to cool him off? Is that why you're doing that?
It's hard to put yourself in that situation because I just know it would never happen.
But you can't just say it would never happen.
I can.
Wait, there was another email, and I don't see it. I don't know if I'm overlooking it, but there was an email saying if something about how Jason invited me to that night of, what was the prom night or whatever? Uh-huh. And if Tim Tebow made a move at me, what would you do?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or what I would do, which I'm not interested in. But also, I think because this is like, you're interested, I would be like, no. Even if I was like, oh.
Let me go to you, Becca.
Okay.
What if you found out that Robert kissed Tanya?
I feel very betrayed.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
By both, right?
By both.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that would be a tough
But one. I think you have to understand, and you know where I'm coming from. I'm girls before guys all day. Like, I had a guy hit on me that was, like, briefly dated one of my friends, and I was like, and he was hot as hell. And I was like,
you remember this.
Yeah. I was like, no, like, not going to happen. Like, you were fully, like, talking to one of my best friends. Like,
there's no guy that could break that girl code.
No, it depends on the girl.
Okay.
Like, Becca, I would never in a million years. Like, my close girlfriends, I would never. But then I understand that also that you have distant friends. And
you
know what I mean? That I may have dated somebody in the past that I think that's fine. But if it's somebody that's one of my best friends, I would never in a million years.
Have you ever had a crush on a friend's boyfriend?
Never.
Because you just put them out of your head.
Once you
do have that ability to just completely turn the switch
Tanya
off
is, like,
for certain
so
people.
Loyal.
Like, I put Robert in like a brother category almost because he dated Becca. You know what I mean? Like, to me, he's almost like. Yeah, and that's why I almost like the relationship so much with him is because it is that relationship where he's just like a guy that I can,
Do you get guy advice from him? Because
totally.
That is nice to have that.
Yeah. Like, and he's not married, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like a guy's perspective on things, and I think it's because I put him in that box, and he'll always be in that box for me.
That box is shut and locked.
Yeah, it's locked. It's in Becca's palm.
No. It's not my bomb anymore.
Let's hit a couple more before
I like this one about the grazes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Brooke.
You guys are really in sync today.
Hey, Becca, Tanya, Amy, Mark, Easton, and whoever else might be. There's a lot of people for a podcast. I've been thinking a lot about this over the past week, and of course I had to ask the grays experts. If you were in grays or a surgeon in real life, what would be your specialty?
Ooh.
Personally, I think I would want to do fetal and neonatal. So basically you can call me Arizona and or Addison. What would y'all choose? P.S. I love y'all, and I look forward to this podcast every week. Keep up the great work, Brooke. Mm. That is sweet.
Pediatrics all day.
Peds?
Yeah, all day.
That's tough, though, because
sick
children
kids.
Are the worst dying children.
Like, I also have to think, obviously, humans in general dying like would affect me, and it's like children, but you get to be like a light in like the whole family's life, you know? Like, you kind of are the person they're seeing every day, and you kind of get to bring like the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's like a sad situation, but also like cleaning up like poop and stuff on an adult, I definitely not. Kids, I'd be like, that's okay. He's a kid.
It all comes down to poop.
You know, like body stuff.
Well, sure, but yeah, because you're also, as sad as that part is, you have to focus on the positive. You're saving the lives
exactly.
of babies and children.
Yeah. Like, you're saving their life. You get to be like that maybe joyful person that walks into the room in this like time of darkness.
I know,
and
like Arizona. She's so everything.
Yeah, Arizona is just the best. And So yeah. So
what? There's pediatrics. There's cardio.
You know what I'd pick?
There's neuro.
I'd pick plastics. Okay. For sure.
Plastics.
Interesting.
Hello.
So you'd be Jackson. You'd be
Jackson,
McSteamy.
Avery, and Tanya. I'm like, hey.
You get nothing done.
Call me Dr. Rad.
Oh, why?
Oh,
just because
be
of
so
the hot
cool.
guys?
Totally.
Dr. Rad.
Yeah, Dr. Rad. Yeah. If it wasn't in Grace Sloan Memorial.
Yeah.
I would not choose plastic.
What would you choose?
Okay. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, she said if you were in Grays or a surgeon in real life.
So
there's the Grays there.
Yeah. If I was a real surgeon, it'd probably be like neonatal too. Isn't that the delivering babies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's where Karev is right now.
Yeah.
Neonatal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I choose.
Okay.
What about you?
I've never thought about this for a second.
Well, time's up. Let's go.
I think I really admire the neuro stuff when I watch it with Shepard and Maggie going into brains and just like flicking a switch and changing
Maggie's
everything.
Heart,
I'm sorry. Who is it now? Oh, it's Amelia now.
Yeah.
It's,
Shepard still.
The Shepard family, neuro dynasty. I guess that. I think that's pretty neat. The brain is fascinating.
It's amazing. Like, to me, that they can go in and, like, know
and
what they're doing with the brain.
Is in there.
Yeah. That's too much. My hands are too shaky.
Tell us about Wink, and then the therapist is on the phone.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. I'm so nervous.
I'm excited.
Okay, so let's talk about Wink. I wish I had a bottle of wine right now. So Wink, we talked about... when I go to the store trying to buy a bottle of wine, or like I had a Super Bowl party and I was like, what do I get? No idea, because I'm not a, what's your word?
Sommelier.
Is that the right? Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not one of those. So that's where Wink comes in. It's W-I-N-C, and Wink's wine experts select wines matched to your taste, and it's personalized for you, and then it's shipped right to your door, and it starts at just $13 a bottle. Mm. All you have to do, you take the palate profile quiz on Wink's website. Questions like, how do you take your coffee, or how do you feel about blueberries? And then Wink takes it from there.
Interesting.
I know, very easy. Kind of gauges what you like,
yeah,
the taste
palate.
That you like. Yeah. So you'll come home to a box of delicious Wink wine selected just for you. It will be your favorite day of the month. My sisters and I already drank all of our 4 bottles.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's 3 people, you know, not hard to do.
That's
no membership.
Over a bottle a person.
And it wasn't per, it wasn't a night.
Oh, okay.
Spread out.
A lot.
There's no membership fees. You can skip any month, cancel at any time, but you probably won't want to. There's free shipping, and if you don't like a bottle, they'll replace it with a bottle you love. No questions asked. Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/Becca. You'll get $20 off your first shipment. Again, that's trywink.com/Becca for $20 off. And one more time, trywink.com/Becca.
Before we put Dr. Saltz on the line, we have breaking news.
Oh.
We have the name of Kylie's daughter.
Oh, wait. Can we guess what it is?
Yes.
Butterfly.
Monarch.
No, no. And you're not
lip close. Kit.
And you're not close. It's
what
not
does
lip
it start
kit.
With? What does it start with?
It starts with an S.
Saint. Oh, no, that's the other one.
Wow. I'm going to go with Sailor.
Nope.
Sarah.
Nope.
Is it a traditional name?
Nope.
It's going to be, I bet it's Salem.
Nope, it's very unique, and it's...
Is it a word we've said ever in life?
Yeah, I'd like, say you have.
Okay. Like, often?
Actually, lately, it's been on the news a lot, which I don't think was her intention.
Oh.
Sabrina.
Are you ready?
Wait.
Okay.
Super
okay.
Bowl.
Nope. Wait, one more guess.
Let's see. One, two...
Give us one.
6 letters. No, sorry.
Can we get one more hint?
Yeah, what's been in the news? I don't...
6 letters, and your hint is weather.
Tsunami?
Oh, that's no, oh my gosh.
Wow, Tanya. Wow.
Wait, snowflake.
Nope.
Weather.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
Surf?
Nope.
Tanya.
What? How many S words are
ooh,
there?
Ooh, starting to cloud up.
Ski.
Oh, it's smog.
Nope.
Smoke?
Nope.
No, it's starting.
Why would you name
it's
it?
Starting to fog up.
It's starting to fog up.
Might be getting a little bit.
Shady, shadowy,
shadow.
Oh, put up your umbrellas.
It's
bring in the patio furniture.
Rain.
It's getting
salty.
Oh, if you're bringing in the patio furniture, it's getting
storm.
Stormy.
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 Stormy wow, that's is
actually,
correct.
That's actually like more normal than I would have thought.
What's weird though to me is that all the news the past few weeks has been about President Trump and Stormy Daniels. So it's kind of a weird timing on it.
But if
that had never happened, I don't know how I would feel about it.
Stormy, huh? I knew two girls growing up named Stormy. Actually, my first kiss ever is married to a Stormy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How did she spell it?
With an I. S-T-O-R-M-I.
Yep.
All right. Can we talk to Dr. Saltz? Dr. Saltz.
All right.
That was a fun game.
Okay, so who we have on the phone right now is a big deal. Gail Saltz, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
Gail, we're so excited to have you.
We are so excited. I'm very nervous, but super excited to have you on the line.
Don't be nervous. I'm not going to read your mind.
Well, I kind of, yeah, get as deep as you need to. But I don't know how they prepped you on my personality type or what they told you.
Nothing.
Wait. Oh, okay. This is good.
I mean, of your personality type, I don't have any prior. I mean, I know that you've been, let's say, unlucky in love on multiple bachelor experiences.
Yes, that's true. Unfortunately,
but I feel like we should tell our listeners that, like, Gail, you're no joke. Like, you are like legit.
I guess that's a fair statement. Yes.
Can you give
us
a little bit of your background, just because I want them to know? Like, we're not just like I'm actually like a little starstruck right now.
Oh, well, let's see. I am a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital and the faculty of Weill Cornell Medical Center, and I'm a psychoanalyst with the New York Psychoanalytic Institute. And so I've been practicing for, let's see, it's like 26 years now. I've written a number of books, some of which do relate to being happy in a relationship as far as one's sex life especially, but other issues as well. And I contribute for Health Magazine. I am a blogger for these kinds of issues for U.S. News and World Report. So I try to do a lot of public education, including on television with mostly these days, I'd say, mostly on CNN, HLN, Good Morning America.
Yeah.
And you're psychiatry, so you like... You're going to be able to tell if Becca has some sort of mental.
Well, I'm going to be honest because, obviously one cannot really make a diagnosis in 15 minutes on a radio show over the phone.
Right.
So in honesty, no. But one could have hints of currents running through things that might be something, to explore. The first of which is one should not presume that there is something wrong with you if you are not finding love on a television show.
Yeah. Well, that's never, I never doubted that.
Yeah. Let's tell Gail what your issue is.
Well, I haven't ever really thought of it as being an issue until recently, but I have a trouble. I feel like there's a wall up in relationships in general with just people, but especially in romantic relationships. But I can't really tell if it's a wall and it's something that created that wall or if it's just my personality type where I'm just kind of more independent and not super emotional.
So by wall, do you mean that you always feel distant from the other person, that you don't feel like you let them be close, or do you mean that you don't really grow to trust them? Do you mean that you might trust them and let them be close, but you can't imagine being committed to them? What is a wall?
I think the first thing you said, like the distance, like I distance myself emotionally, but it's not so much that I don't trust them or that I'm scared to let them close to me. I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. I think it's more, I've always just been very independent and okay being alone. So I just feel like there's like a block there as far as maybe letting myself feel those emotions or
dependent
getting there?
In any way?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Mm-hmm. So have you ever had a relationship where you did feel somewhat dependent on someone?
Not really. No.
Uh-huh. And in your family of origin, like at home,
mm-hmm.
Were there visible relationships, including yourself, where it felt you saw people being dependent on one another and it being a good thing or a safe thing?
Yeah, I mean, my parents are still together and, like, they love each other, but they also like each other. Like, I grew up with a very ideal relationship as an example. So
do they have a very traditional relationship of, you know, their time? You know, is someone dependent on someone else, or are they very independent sorts individually?
They're, I guess, dependent on each other. Like, they spend, you know, they're together all the time, and mm-hmm. they go to work, but they're, you know, they're each other's best friend and ultimate company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they really confide in each other, and they emotionally count on each other. And,
yes.
And do you feel like you want that?
I do want that, but it seems like that. I think because I've never experienced that with someone, that it seems not impossible. That seems sad, but almost maybe that's not my personality type to feel that way towards another person.
Well, so personality types are first of all not cast in stone. It's not like that's my personality type, and you know I can't do anything about that.
Uh-huh.
And personality types or character types can come somewhat from, you know, your particular biology, but they're more likely shaped by events and, you know, your environment, and then reinforced. So if, you know, if even unconsciously, so out of your awareness, you get the idea that, you know, it's safer because, let's say, someone might break up with you and be gone, to always count on yourself,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, that can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. But that doesn't mean it's unchangeable. Change can happen, but only basically if the person really wants to change. You know, people are like, why can't you make them go to dream? You can't. You'd have to, like, if you were saying, hey, I recognize I'm very independent, and I like that about myself. I'm really self-sufficient, which actually is a strength, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's also a strength to be able to, you know, let a little go when you want to in terms of creating a bond with somebody else. And it's not just because it would be nice for you to depend on somebody. It's really because somebody else likes to feel needed, right? That's part of the reciprocity of any relationship. Just like if you were in a relationship that felt really good, part of it would be you would feel needed, you know, not needed like clingy, they need me, you know, I can't get out of here. But like, I really bring things to the table here that are of value, and my partner really appreciates that. So to have that kind of mutual reciprocity, which does, you know, make for really, you know, intense intimacy. I don't mean sexual intimacy, but like emotional intimacy,
mm-hmm.
You know, is something that, if you recognize, I don't know, I don't do that, or I haven't done that yet, there are two possibilities. One is there hasn't been somebody that you feel like you feel such an affinity toward,
mm-hmm.
And such trust of that, you know, you've gone there with them. Another is that there is something scary to you, whether you're aware of it or not, that about letting yourself depend on somebody. It doesn't seem safe. You know, you could get left. You know, you could get, who knows, any number of things that for you as an individual would be frightening, you know, mm-hmm. or anxiety producing. And people who have that may look like somebody who has what, you know, in lay parlance, like has a commitment phobia. Right? They're mm-hmm. sort of like, I will be really close with you until it looks like we could actually end up together, really, and then I need to move away, because the idea of being stuck forevermore seems very scary to me.
I've always thought, I think in my head, there's that fear of, I've always thought in my head, like, I can't imagine being with, it's not commitment as in I can't be with one person. It's more if I commit myself and I'm with this person, like if we get married, I believe in marriage, you know, being forever. And if I make that decision and then what happens down the road, if I'm like, I made this commitment and it's, you know, supposed to be forever. And what do? I feel stuck or I can't get out of it or I'm unhappy, but I don't know what to do.
So what are you, what do you imagine happening at that juncture? Is it that you're saying, what do I do if I've made this forever commitment? And then you imagine what? I'll be miserable. I'll think, oh my God, I made the wrong choice. I want to pick somebody else. What is the thing that you're thinking is going to happen?
Well, I guess it's like if I get married and I want kids eventually and I have kids and then I'm in the place where I'm like, I don't feel what I used to feel for this person when we were first together, which I know, you know, relationships, you go up and down and through a bunch of things. But what if it gets to a point where you're in this stuck or you feel in this stuck relationship and you have kids involved and you're both not happy. But I think the alternative, which would be, you know, splitting up and getting a divorce, seems as scary as being in a relationship or feeling stuck.
So, like, those are a lot of thoughts that people who do have real fears of commitment do have. That's sort of a typical, you know, so because the scenario you're describing, right, is a complete what if. It's a complete fantasy, you know, that you have no idea. There's no evidence, you know, that if you were married to somebody you really fell in love with and decided, this is the person for me, and you had children, that then you would now at some point go, I really don't love you, or I don't love you as much as I loved you, and now I really want out, or that they would feel that. In other words, it's your anxiety fantasy, and based on that, you are making the decision, essentially, that it would be better to never go there than to go there and have that happen. And you know, I hate to sound like a cliche, but, you know, it's sort of like it is a bit of subscribing to the better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all, because, of course, what you're saying is a complete, you know, is a made-up thing, for one. For two, yes, people do definitely go through better times and worse times, and it's true that a marriage takes work, and it's true that it would require the effort to ride through, over, under, around those hard times, having decided that you've made this, you know, choice to spend your life and having built something with somebody. It is true that no one can say to you, oh, nothing like that would happen. It would be a free ride. But you've got an idea that's pretty, you know, that's kind of specific that also you have no idea would have happened. But something has kept that idea very alive in your mind, and probably keeps you from, you know, getting too close to that point where this idea scares you. So what if you came to see me, my office, we would try to understand more about that fantasy. We would try to understand if there's anything that's gone on in the past that may have helped create that fantasy for you. And we would try to make it all very conscious so that when you were in the moment, say, with somebody, and they were like, you know, wow, I really like you, really love you, like, you know, you're moving in that direction, and there's suddenly a feeling for you of closeness, you know, what thoughts exactly do pop up? And, you know, and why are they popping up then? And does it really make sense? Is it really based in reality at that moment, and try to work through that?
Yeah. Wow. I think in my head, I've always known that, like I've said that out loud of, wouldn't it just be better? Like, I'm so comfortable being alone and feel independent and confident and happy alone. Isn't that better than choosing
suffering
to be
with all this? And by the way, let me say, marriage isn't for everyone. I mean, I do not in any way want to suggest that marriage isn't for everyone. Kids are not for everyone. They are specific choices. Are there benefits to be had in marriage? Clearly there are. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been multiple studies that have looked at various mental health benefits and various actually physical health benefits. Not so for kids, actually. Kids are, to some degree, I mean, I have three. It's my greatest joy. But they really can be a real mental health drain and subsequently a physical health drain. But they are a choice. You have to, like, choose to want to do those things. And I don't think they're for everyone. And because marriage is a lot of work with potentially a lot of gain, again, you know, you have to decide you want to do that. That's something you really want. And if you don't, I don't think it's right to let society tell you there's something wrong with you and you should figure out what your pathology is and do it anyway, mm-hmm. on the one hand. So if you're like, you know what, I really love being independent. I don't actually want a partnership. I don't actually want to get married. I want to be me and do my thing, and I'll have relationships, but like, I don't really want a permanent relationship. That's a perfectly viable life choice. On the other hand, if actually what you do want is you do want that life relationship and you do want children, then the idea that you're independent and that's, you know, prevents you from committing really in your mind, in your heart, then that might be something to work on.
Yeah. What were you going to? Tanya had a question for you.
Well, I was going to say, it's not just romantic relationships that she does, like, that she feels this way or acts this way. It's in pretty much all the relationships.
All relationships. Well, that's a bigger clue.
Okay. Well, first of all, Tanya's a little more of a needy friend, so I think she's projecting our relationship specifically.
But it's true. That's true. It's not just me. You have other
friends. Well, it would be good to have more of an N than one. Like, you know, like, if other people feel that way too, if there are other friends who have reflected, you know, like, you, or if you could even say about yourself, yeah, you know, like, as long as the friendship stays sort of here, I'm good. You know, if the person wants more, too much, like, I kind of, like, got to end that. If it is a repet, you know, pathology is always about degree and frequency. So, you know, one-offs are like, no, that's not a problem. But like multiples, yeah, that tells you there's some smoke there and you should look there. So if it were true that it's like a lot of friendships, it's hard to stay with them when they go through more difficult times and feel like, but this has been my friend, and, you know, try to work toward coming out the other end, or if it's or as soon as it gets close and, you know, and maybe even has a period of neediness, you're like, I'm out of there, then, you know, that would tell you something about the anxiety about people depending on you and or requiring stuff from you that mm-hmm. that, you know, in your mind impedes your independence.
But what does that mean? Because that is sometimes how I feel.
It means if you really had confidence in your independence, you would feel like, I can give this up for, you know, this is temporary. I can give this up, or I can give to this person, or I can be required of this person, you know, this by this person. And it doesn't make me, I mean, I'm still me. I still feel perfectly capable and independent. If you have insecurity about your independence, then maybe you wouldn't be so sure about that. And it would make it hard to, you know, you would resent it, like, no, you know, you can't, you know, that's mine, and I'm nervous about it, so you don't take any.
I mean, I think I like being in control of my feelings, and like being in control of the feelings that I feel, whether it's in a friendship or in a relationship. And I will say, like, if I'm struggling or I'm very internal about it. I like to process it before I try and reach out to someone to talk to.
Well, that's very reasonable. But when you say I like to be in control of my feelings, meaning you don't like other people's feelings to perhaps prevail or prevail on your feelings, like you don't like to be made to feel a certain way because of someone else's emotions. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I guess. I don't necessarily like to... I mean, if someone... Yeah, I guess I don't like someone else's emotions to try and sway mine.
And do you feel like part of the control is, like, you want to be the gatekeeper of, you know, in other words, I'm going to leave you before you would leave me, or, you know, I'm going to be the gatekeeper of, so that I don't have to feel bad stuff.
I mean, I think in my most recent relationship, which I've struggled with because he was absolutely wonderful to me, like, I couldn't name one thing that he did wrong in our relationship. And the way it ended, I felt like his feelings for me were advanced, way more advanced than mine were for him. And I couldn't tell if I was going to let myself get there or if I had just reached the peak of what I was able to feel towards him. And I don't know if it was just because he wasn't, you know, the right person or what the reasoning was. But I was like, I don't know if this is an emotional block that, like you said, I'm ending it before he can end it.
Has that happened? I mean, have you broken up a few times before somebody else might have or could have?
Not really. He was my first, like, long-term relationship.
So if it's not a pattern, it's hard to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's where you're going, whether it's with friends or with boyfriends, or, you know, in other words, if with a friend, it's just, you know, I'm going to end it before they would, then that might be an issue of, like, needing to be, again, too protective, afraid of feeling whatever it is down, you know.
Like, afraid of feeling heartbreak.
Not in control.
Yeah. Well,
I'm wishing I could come sit down in your office.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
What I was thinking. I'm like, I feel like Dr. Saltz and Becca should have a little session.
One-on-one time.
Well, you know, it's really important to know that, like, first of all, many of these issues are pretty common. They really are.
That's good to know.
And I think especially today, where there is this, I don't know, like, global myth that, you know, relationships are supposed to make you happy. And if they're not making you happy, then you should get out of them. And that's like, not good. You know, it can never be true. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're saying you're an independent person, right? So at the end of the day, you are responsible for your happiness. Someone else can't actually make you happy. And so it's what you put in, and then obviously, you know, with somebody who would be a good match. I don't think there's only one match. I don't think there's only one soulmate, but somebody who's a good match. And then it's kind of what you put in. And if you're waiting for either that friend or that boyfriend or whatever to make you feel happy all the time, you will not find it. You know, it just,
wow.
So, it's good to feel independent in the sense that you do own your abilities to make yourself happy enough. You know,
right.
That's the other thing. Can't be happy all the time, you
right.
know? And if you're terrified of being other than happy, that's something else to work on. But these are, like, not uncommon issues, especially today. Psychotherapy can be really helpful.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful way to leave it with our listeners, because I feel like that really struck a chord. Like, A, it's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news for Becca. And B, you're in charge of your own happiness. I feel like that was a really good little nightcap.
I know.
To
I
our
feel
conversation.
Good. I feel good about this, but I also, next time I come to Manhattan, I am calling you.
All righty.
Thank you so much for taking your time to be on here.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
That was a lot.
But we got
also
some good pointers.
I know. I feel I really could have a good conversation with her, first of all.
Yeah.
In a room one-on-one.
It was interesting about being stuck. Like,
I
feel like that is a fear I've never thought of for you.
Yeah, I think it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of a pessimistic way of looking at things. And I don't know why I really have that, because my parents, like I said, they still...
Their best case scenario.
But I think in just society in general, majority of the things you see, whether it's on social media or the news or pop culture, it's like people splitting up. And it's like, when I get married, I don't want it to be like, oh, we tried for a few years and then that was it, you know?
One interesting thing is I always think of life as upside versus downside. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the reasons I don't drink, because I feel like the upside is, hey, fun, and the downside is everything from vomiting to vehicular manslaughter. Like, I just focus on the downside. Uh-huh. And it's interesting that you look at relationships like that, consciously or not consciously, that you're focused on, hey, it could be fun and we could fall in love and live happily ever after, but what if we hate each other after we have kids? What if we fall out of love? How painful is that going to be? Right. That's interesting to focus on that part
of it. This is the saddest, but like, what if you get married and you like, they find someone else and you have like kids and stuff? I don't know. It's like, I think because you see so much of this in society today, whether it's, like I said, in movies, on TV, it's kind of like subconsciously in my mind, whether I realize I'm thinking about it or not.
Yeah.
But that's just, in my head, I'm like, well, it's way safer to just be by myself.
Yeah.
Wow.
It started making a little sense to me.
Yeah. But also, like, not all of my friends are super, like, you're probably the only friend who, like, gets, I'm just saying, like, as far as my friends, you're
special. Is that what you're going to say? I'm your only special friend.
That's called glass half full.
That's right.
I didn't know I thought she was going to be offended.
I think my neediness is really a special trait, and
I just like that you try to like bring, like, she's like this in friendships too, and I'm like, no, all my other friends just are not as don't require as much out of me.
Special.
She said special. Speaking of special, let's talk about Quip.
Yay. Oh, you know what, I actually think I need one of these.
You haven't gotten one?
No.
We'll have to use your code,
my teeth.
Becca
5 times a day now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Tanya got Invisalign, so she's the ultimate teeth brusher.
Toothbrusher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I brush them 6 times a day.
Wow.
It's insane. I feel like it's like, what do you do most of your day? I talk on the radio and I brush my teeth.
Wow. Pretty hobbies. Much and she and asked me if I still love her. Those are her top three. Actually, did you know that when it comes to your health, brushing your teeth is one of the most important parts of your day, as you already know?
Yeah.
You actually dated someone with halitosis, so that's something he is listening.
Yeah. It was a darker time for me. I was just like at the point in life where I was just taking what I could get. So halitosis, come my way.
Let's move to something more positive. Quip they've combined dentistry and design to make a better electric toothbrush. So Quip is a toothbrush that packs premium vibration and timer features into an ultra slim design. It's half the cost of the bulkier brushes.
I also feel like if you're not using an electric toothbrush, you're really not getting the full clean.
You're not getting the full experience. Mm-mm. When I use an electric toothbrush versus a manual toothbrush, I feel like I just left the dentist versus the
totally
non-dentist,
versus
which is me.
Yeah.
Quip is basically like Apple designed a toothbrush, and it's super affordable. You have to see it and brush with it yourself. The vibration like changes. It does a little vibration when you need to move to a different part of your mouth. You can even subscribe to receive new brush heads on a 3-month plan for just $5, including free shipping, and it starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/Becca right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/Becca, spelled getquip.com/Becca. All right. We got to get you a Quip toothbrush.
Yeah. You tell me.
Spawn. All right. I feel like we tackled a lot today.
A lot.
I feel emotionally lighter. I feel like I would like to sit down a one-on-one session with her, really delve into things, but yeah.
I mean, you got a therapy session. I got a potential date with Chris Tilly.
Nice.
Applebee's.
Did you respond again or no?
No, I have to think about it.
Okay, yeah. You have to consult people and friends.
Yeah, I have to screenshot it.
Professional
like
writers.
My friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Becca, I think you're going to find a guy that's going to make you not care about the downside.
Oh, that's like the best. Me too.
I think you will. You'll be like, I don't care. I just want to be with him. It doesn't matter how it ends.
All I can think about is the upside.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me three.
Great.
I feel like Tanya has no problem seeing the upside, but you're going to find someone who makes you focus on the upside too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. My future husband is going to be like Polly the positive pistol.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm losing.
Instead of Hal, well, the halitosis.
We should hashtag Polly the positive pistol.
Instead of Hal, the halitosis.
I actually get sad when we bring up the halitosis guy.
I do too, because it was a sad time in my life.
Yeah, that you were just like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I want to say a huge thank you to Dr. Gail Saltz for helping me with my walls and also not making me cry.
Yeah.
I got a little teary at one point. I can't remember what she said, but it was good. I feel good. Thank you all for listening and all the emails. Please keep them coming. Yeah. Once again, it's scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com. We'll be back next week. And until then, time of death, 14:09.
And 35 seconds. See that teamwork? That was teamwork right there. That's how the Plastics Posse rolls. We get you down to the second.